right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I am here, as always, with my buddies John and Chuck. Gentlemen, how are you doing? Chuck, what did you have for breakfast?
Oh, today I had pizza. I got a Little Caesars hot and ready, $5.
You didn't
drive through.
You didn't go the extra $3 to get the bacon wrap?
No, I'm good. Just give me a $5 pepperoni.
You're being very un-Chuck right now.
That's very me. I woke up late yesterday. Depending on what day you're listening to this.
You didn't do the bacon wrap.
I know. That should have been me. But yesterday, was St. Patrick's Day. So I'm not doing well.
Oh, yeah.
It is close.
We are recording on a Wednesday.
Did you drive out the snakes?
Oh, no. The snakes are in my heart now. And they're residing. They're not leaving.
But you are actually Irish? Is this, you have Irish?
Yeah, my parents are from Ireland.
Okay.
So, yeah, I went kind of...
Belfast!
They're from Belfast. They're from the Falls Road area of Belfast. It was like being from Crenshaw Boulevard.
They're aware of the troubles then, are they?
They are. My grandparents used to make petrol bombs for the IRA.
It's a statute of limitations on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Does the NSA care about that?
They're super dead.
Hashtag NSAJK.
Super dead of emphysema a long time ago.
Yeah. John, how are you doing, and what did you have for breakfast?
I, in my never-ending pursuit of money, decided to work construction today and was running late because I don't know how to get up early after St. Patty's Day, and I had a Snickers bar and a Gatorade. Because I apparently needed...
That's kind of a construction breakfast in my mind.
Electrolytes and some, hungry, why wait, blast-off satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Now, when my old lady asked me what I had, I'll say I made like an egg white omelet with...
You get some dried kale snacks.
Yeah, kale and basil.
Chia chips.
vegan cheese.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. I had the leftover donuts. Kind of a... I think I bought them. I think they were real cheap. I went to a mom and pop donut establishment in Jackson, Tennessee, which, if you don't know, is about halfway between Memphis and Nashville. Coming back from seeing the Grizzlies play this weekend, picked up some perhaps day-old donuts because they sold them, again, quite at the discount. And then I ate them a couple days later. But, they had enough sugar on them. Tasted great to Keith.
This is not the Jackson so famously... Raconteured about by June and Johnny.
I like to think it is, but that's the Mississippi.
Yeah. You don't go down to Jackson to raise hell, not Jackson, Tennessee.
You go to attend Union University.
You don't go there.
Find Christian secondary learning institutions.
You don't go to Jackson, Tennessee in a fever.
That is true. All right. That was our breakfast talk. Now, after our breakfast talk, we always go to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is a chance to make right what we may have gotten incorrect in previous weeks.
Reggie Jackson, I'm so sorry. I'll never besmirch you again. We gave that guy hell last week. We've been giving him hell for a little bit. We even kind of threw out there, I also read that Bill Simmons said this, we thought maybe Stan Van was secretly tanking by trading for Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Well, he dropped 20 points and 20 assists on the Grizzlies this week, and it was hellacious.
I will say, John was looking at me or asking me before the show if I was going to apologize to Reggie Jackson, because Reggie Jackson last week was, I think, my worst thing.
Hellacious.
And yes, he did go nuts on the Grizzlies, but in the game before going 20-20, he had 5 turnovers and no assists. And also,
that's what makes it so bizarre.
They had lost 10 straight games.
That's why I feel like we did this.
They were 1-11 since the Reggie Jackson trade.
I'm pretty sure they had lost 10 straight games to the Grizzlies prior to this.
The Grizzlies had a 10-game winning streak against Detroit. I tell you who I blame. I think Bano Udra might be like the Popeye spinach to Reggie Jackson. When he gets superpowers, he might be the little special blue pill.
All I know is we gave Reggie Jackson hell on earth, and he turned in the first 20-20 game since Steve Nash when he was playing for the Suns.
Right.
Also, another note about that game, Brandon Jennings and Reggie Jackson are the first two teammates, first set of teammates to have 20-plus assists in the same season since Nick Van Exel and George McLeod on your 0-1 Nuggets.
Those are two esteemed pairings. Well, Reggie, you have my... contrition, and please go back to being one of the second only to Tony Allen as the most likely to have been a hobo before playing a game, to have panhandled his way into the arena. He looks like 37-year-old straight up. He looks like Bubbles from The Wire sometimes.
Who would you most likely offer a ride to the grocery store, Patrick Beverly or Reggie Jackson, if you saw them derelict laying on the street corner?
I forgot about Petty B. But Patty B sort of has like a hipster thing going. He's kind of like Harold from Kids.
I think they both.
I almost expect to see him like flapping his around before and after a game on a street corner. But so yeah, I'm gonna go with Big Harold.
Yeah, they both I think have that hipster thing working, or the chic nerd kind of look. Yeah. But
it's not as like the most chic nerd look right now has to be Dennis Schroeder though.
That's Euro.
He looks insane.
He's off the charts.
Yes. he sings for like an indie band.
Yeah, but I mean, really, we are the Fast Break Breakfast crew, probably the last people in the world to speak intelligently about fashion.
Yes.
Or the looks of any players. So
100% true.
Chuck is judging us with his stocking cap, beard, and plaid.
Hey, I know what I do. I'm doing fashion wise. I know all I know is that I have better fashion sense than the biggest fashionista in basketball history, Michael Jordan, who only wears stonewashed jeans with like...
You're dressed like Debo from Friday right now as you say this.
You look like...
Oh, you got nothing!
I got it. Keith will just blank it out. That's why I couldn't.
Yeah, you were just going to say something profane.
It was going to be, yeah. It was going to be disgusting. You look like you suck a... on the weekends for Coke.
Ooh, that's a long bleep.
Yeah. I'll do my apology. It's very tame. It's very mainstream. Instead of apologizing to a Reggie Jackson, I was going to apologize because we don't talk about them much, and maybe it's because everyone else is doing it for us. The Golden State Warriors are a very good basketball team, having a very good season. And for some reason, I guess because it's almost, I don't know, it's just boring to talk about how good they're being. But they are, so far this season, they're 35-5 with their preferred starting lineup. Their net rating currently is plus 10.3, and that is the last five teams that have had that net rating have all won the championship. That's the Celtics from 07-08, the Spurs from 04-05, and then Michael Jordan's Bulls for the 92, 96, and 97 seasons. So, statistically, they're having an amazing regular season, and they look awesome, and I am apologizing for just ignoring them.
It's easy to take them for granted because it's night in, night out.
It's night in, night out, and it's not like we're taking them for... They're not like... Sometimes, I guess there's been teams in the NBA that are winning games that I don't enjoy. I just don't watch them or something. There's something not... enjoyable. They are the most enjoyable watch team.
Yeah.
It's the most glorious brand of basketball. When they play, I watch them.
Yeah, I
just never bring them up.
I actually need to take that back. It's hard to take them for granted because they're really excellent, and because they're a West Coast team, it's really easy to watch their games.
Yeah.
I understand if you go to bed early or something, but I stay up fairly late.
You do.
So I watch a lot of Warriors games.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, especially because having those late West Coast games where there's like the only game left on, and it's just it is a blessing. So I apologize to all the Warriors fans and the team for we don't talk about them enough.
You have a great team that they're monstrous. So I don't know why we don't mention them every single episode.
Sad for that Clay injury.
Yeah,
please don't be serious.
How long is he out?
They're saying 7 to 10 days, which to me always turns into like three weeks. Weeks. God. Don't do that.
But
although Holiday is balling.
Justin Holiday is balling on that second unit, taking over Barbosa's minutes in it.
Starting over Iguodala, though, while Clay is out.
Interesting. Chuck, you have anything you feel bad about or you need to apologize for?
I don't. And actually, I'm actually going to ask for an apology today from you, Keith.
For what?
For
why would I need to apologize to you?
Because you handed me poison before our podcast yesterday.
I warned you.
And I just got over it yesterday.
What do you mean?
Those quesaritos,
the Taco Bell, I got you?
That's disgusting. And it gave me the serious bubble guts for a very long time.
You eat Brosters. You tell me about you eat gas station fast food every day.
Some
Keith was fine.
Of the
I gave you guys mine.
The Thai food, the sriracha sauce, weird hotness,
you don't like that rooster sauce.
Well,
that made me terribly, terribly sick.
Well, I mean, I'm not here asking for apologies from you.
Yeah, how's come you never do?
I mean, when's our last conspiracy theory?
Hey, back up, y'all. My life's in shambles right now, and y'all think you could just clap your hands and make me write stuff for a free podcast I don't get paid to do? I got to take...
Where is this going?
I mean, do you edit the podcast, Chuck? Are you paying to host the podcast?
I came up with the damn name.
All right.
Fast Break Breakfast was mine. This is my f***ing baby.
All I'm saying is we ask for like two things from you every 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, you want a text?
And there's nothing.
I got a damn text. You want to hear a text?
Wait, are you going to be able to give us a text this week?
Yeah, I can give you a text right now. Okay. There's one right on my phone. I'll bring
it up. Let me. All right. So apparently Chuck is feeling a little... I don't know, bad mood post St. Patrick's Day, Chuck. I don't like it. But this is apparently a scorned Heat fan texts.
Oh, apparently
a friend.
Apparently, I start this one. Chuck is showing me.
Oh, okay. All right.
So this begins with me.
This is a text. Is this to you?
I think this is to us all.
Oh, okay.
On our group text.
Okay. All right,
so, during the Heat Jazz game.
Okay.
Wait. Do you see now, Keith?
Yes. All right. Now, so this is. A scorned Heat fan texts a friend, present day edition.
Man, Chuck, the Heat have no answer for Rudy Gobert.
My butthole has no answer for the fire hot squirts that quesara, sriracha, quesarito are afflicting me with.
You grew up in Miami and lived in Louisiana. How can you not handle spice?
My people are from an island where instead of eating something other than a potato, they died.
And there you have it. A scorned, bitter Heat fan texts friends present day.
I have another one.
Edition. Oh.
Potato famine edition.
You want another one?
Oh, yeah. So here we have. Is this a present day edition as well?
This was last week. During the, and you guys don't even have to be involved in this, but I sent you guys a message. I think you might remember it if I repeat it.
Here we are.
This was during, this is the day after Cavs Spurs.
Oh, yes.
I rewatched the game, and here is my text to the boys.
Okay.
All these assholes who never missed in the finals last year had to do was make a damn free throw, but they couldn't. What the hell? They're terrible. Just finished Caspers.
And there you have a bonus. Don't think this gets you out of doing another one.
I get two in 1 week. That means
and there you had a bonus. A scoring Heat fan texts a friend.
If it makes you feel better, Chuck, they ended up losing to the Knicks very shortly thereafter.
So well,
the Spurs have Spurs paid the price.
I only want to see the Spurs beat the Cavs.
That transitions nicely. Into our steak and eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Best thing. I'll go ahead and take mine from that game. Again, I don't know if I'm going mainstream media this week.
I'm proud of you. This is very, you're being very un-Keefe right now.
My best thing was the Kyrie Irving performance in that Spurs Cavs game.
Game of the year.
Game of the year. So early in the year, I mean, I think it's the game of the year. We've had the quarter, perhaps, of this century, the Klay Thompson game. That quarter was the greatest thing we'd ever seen, and I feel that way. But this game, this performance, was against a championship-caliber opponent, not the Kings, against a team and a coach who knew how to call timeouts, who knew how to try to stop runs. And this game featured a rally, a buzzer beater, and then all clutch made threes. So we're talking about, again, Kyrie Irving just blowing up for 57 points, 7 for 7 threes. He was 20 for 32 from the field. Amazingly, of those 32 shots, 30 were contested.
He's the greatest contested shooter ever. Earlier this year, we referred to as an insane contested shot game.
Yeah. It was, I mean, and it's one of those games we've talked before about a guy's hand. I think I saw a game where Curry's handle was on fire,
right,
and he was just doing silly things. This was a game where his shot was on fire, Kyrie's shot and handle, everything. It was unbelievable. And to see him rally, and yes, it did take, all it took to not have it be this historic night was Kawhi hitting 1 of 2 free throws. Probably would have been fine.
Oh, Tony missed free throws too.
Yeah.
It was that was a spectacular game. My favorite sequence was the battles of the three-pointers versus the and-one plays that went back and forth between the two teams. It was just.
It was one of those games where you want to show to like non NBA fans.
Yeah, it's,
you're like, watch this. This is crazy.
On your TiVo, you basically are on your DVR. You put save until I tell you to delete it.
That's right. That's right.
This will never be deleted. My only two games this year. I've even deleted all my Grizz games. It's just the Klay Thompson game and just this game. And they'll probably be there until the start of next season. When I get super lonely at night.
I have that Klay Thompson game on the DVR and a 5-minute stretch of a Warriors game where Steve Kerr says something really, mouths something really filthy, like, but you can't hear it. And I keep meaning to make a Vine of it, but I haven't. So I'm, you know, those are the two.
Timely.
Yes. You guys have a steak and eggs?
You know I do.
Oh.
Go right ahead.
Guys. Now that we picked on you, Chuck.
Yeah.
Now you got all that vitriol out, the poison.
Beautiful. Yeah, we had the wonderful... 2-0 at home against LeBron and the Cavs this year. The Miami Heat have recreated Christmas Day's wonderful miracle in my heart. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. It was the best thing I've seen this week, and I loved it.
How about that Dwayne Wade play, though?
That behind the back.
The save?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Why did he have to get that blocked? That kind of ended it, but... If it would, that's an all-time highlight because that was such a beautiful play at his age. But
if the shot goes in, that's one of the great plays.
One of the great plays.
Can you break it down for us, Keith? Can you?
I don't remember. I remember exactly. He was saving it. Someone threw him an amazing bounce pass first, right, to get it down the court, like a thread the needle, or was that the save? The behind the back bounce pass was the thread the needle.
That was the thread down 3-quarter court to Dragic in stride. Happened to be J.R. Smith was. You know, step for step with him and block the
shot.
Then
Dwayne Wade chased it down and almost saved it. It was very exciting.
If only he could have gotten that to someone who wasn't from like Slovenia.
Right. That was.
Come on.
Don't
you know that white man can't jump? Okay.
Well, I'm just saying that Dragic is like the best finisher at the rim of all guards.
He is a great player at the rim.
But
I can make a Woody Harrelson joke. Leave me alone.
Another Whiteside double-double, 16th of the season. Look good. We're obviously... Looking at the playoffs, it's probably not going to happen. I don't think.
At least they're in it.
They're in it right now.
They turned a corner slightly.
I don't think it's going to happen. As far as I'm concerned,
unless they
play like this. But we beat the Cavs twice without Bosch. We didn't have Bosch on Christmas Day. Nope. Yep. So that's kind of a big thing in Miami. You know, Wade looked like vintage Wade, 32 points. Chalmers had 16 off the bench.
Chalmers,
it looks like they might be doing something. For next season, and that gives me hope to keep Dragic signed, that he has this idea that there's momentum.
As a degenerate gambler, I will say, after a small sample size, but after two games wherein I have been suckered into betting on the Cavs against the Heat, never again.
Yeah.
It has entered that zone.
The Heat are plus 24 against the Cavs at home and minus 78 against everybody else.
Right. So, well, that's a beautiful number.
Terrifying.
If you have to choose,
if you had to write this season script and you said, "Hey, you're going to just play really well against LeBron and the Cavs," I'd have taken it in a second.
What if Dwayne Wade played like this every night?
He's on a great run.
His body would disintegrate. He has the it's not that he can't summon greatness anymore. It's to be able to do that on a consistent basis.
Night-in, night-out basis.
Because he is great. He still has the technical ability and the what seems
But his game has changed. He's not just doing it getting the line anymore.
No, he's not. He's doing a lot of, you know, close-to-the-basket work that it's great to watch.
He's a big guard. He's fun to watch. He's got an old man game. He's got Paul Pierce game.
He has six straight games over that he's played over 25 points.
Never disrespect Dwayne Wade. With Paul Pierce.
I won't do that again.
No conflation with those two. Paul Pierce looks like a hobo that shaves with a broken 40 glass.
Dwayne Wade looks like Greedo from Star Wars. His eyes are on opposite sides of his head.
Probably right. We're being really hateful this week towards the homeless and the unfortunate unemployed.
I think it's because I feel so desperately close to them right now. I worked construction today, damn it. Chuck drove here and
did you do a steak and eggs, John?
Yeah, I did. Right. Oh, no, just now? No,
yeah, yeah. Did you, give us your best thing.
Going back to some weird homeless stuff, in a post-game presser, DeAndre Jordan straight up wiped a booger on J.J. Redick's body.
Oh, those post-game presser humor.
Oh, it was more than a photo bomb. It was a booger bomb. So humorous, DeAndre. Even better than your horse head antics.
It's important.
Nothing is better than your horse head antics.
It's important to keep a playful spirit in these doldrums of the season.
If you don't know, DeAndre Jordan once besieged passersby while wearing a horse head, a vinyl horse head, which, if it was a small child wearing a vinyl horse head who came around a corner at me, I would be frightened. This is a 7'2" potential defensive player of the year candidate, fraudulent. That's scary. But, I mean, this is good. J.J. Redick finally has a game worthy of a post-game, you know, post-game interview sideline, and DeAndre literally wipes a bug on it. Well done, DeAndre.
Well done. All right, now for the opposite things. The cream of wheat, worst of week. What's the worst thing that you endured in the past week of NBA basketball?
Charles Oakley, be quiet. Charles Oakley ranted this week. He was asked, what does he like about today's game? Who do I like watching? What do I like watching? It's hard to watch. I don't know. It's a different game. It's some good games and a lot of bad games. More bad games than good games these days. The mind is not, you don't have to be strong to play this game no more. I don't know what it is. They just roll out there like a basketball. That's why you see the same teams in the finals or winning 55 games every year these days. Strong team, strong-minded coach. That's all you need. Just the players, they don't think it, they don't know how to play together. So that's one of the things I see the weaknesses is. Communication, the guys don't love the game. They play the game, but they don't play with their heart. No teamwork. Charles Oakley. That is exactly what you did to basketball and what your era was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a get off my porch. Off my lawn.
When would you say Charles Oakley, what was his golden age?
Whenever he was the wingman of like Michael Jordan's posse when they rolled into clubs.
So like late 80s to like late 90s.
Yeah.
How many teams won an NBA championship then?
Couple.
Four. What did Charles Oakley ever do? You know how Charles Oakley communicated? Icy stares into the hearts of other teams' players.
And picking people up by their throat.
Yeah, I mean.
He did. I wish he would have enunciated a little more clearly that maybe he didn't like that they've gotten some of the physicality out of the game. Because he would have I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's just all these, I feel like there's all these South by Southwest interviews happening of all these like old players who are there trying to remain relevant.
Right.
And then so many of them are like, no, the league was way better in the 90s. It was not.
It was not.
It was not.
By any measure.
Players like Charles Oakley and Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer killed basketball for a while, at least the style
those,
that I really...
Those Heat Knicks playoff series.
Good Lord,
P.J. Brown, just... It wasn't pretty to watch. It was a lot of isolation. It encouraged isolation because of the lack of the zone kind of shift that occurred.
Right.
And now...
Illegal defense back then was the...
This is the worst, like, pot kettle black scenario. I couldn't really make this up. This is like if... the only one I could think of that would be worse would be, like, straight up just Bill Laimbeer being like, man, in my day, it was like fluid, free-flowing basketball.
Right.
And then you're like, you
like water.
Had a video game called Combat Basketball.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't do this.
Oh, that was the name I was going to use for our Zeebo fighting game. I didn't know that was already taken.
Sorry,
oh,
wow. Man. Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball on Super NES.
That's crazy.
But shame on you, Charles Oakley. And please don't find me and kill me.
Yeah, I don't know if we should be picking on Oakley after...
Can you edit this out?
Yeah. After coming after Javaris Crittenden and Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah.
Don't you have a Michael Jordan poker game to get to, Charles? Go on, Oak. Get going.
Okay, so my worst of the week. The Boston Celtics need to play on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes
for
sense to me.
For one reason and one reason only, those really cool jerseys with the gold numbers.
Yeah.
I'm not a Celtics fan, but I'm an Irish guy.
Yeah.
And I just think that's proper. Now, that being said, I kind of understand why they do not want that in Boston.
Violent crime.
Right. Yeah. I was like drinking deaths.
Right. So I understand it, but it needs to happen. They play the game in Belfast or Dublin or something.
Oh,
go overseas for the game. New York, Boston.
Good Lord. If that happens, like
Dublin.
The ghost of Eddie Coyle will rise from the parquet. And
how do you,
Robert Mitchum will stumble out there and fire a gun at some miscreants.
As an Irishman, how do you feel about the Bulls wearing all green on like March 9th?
That's just a confusing thing.
It's so confusing.
Now, Chicago's Paddy's Day is damn good.
Oh, yeah.
Is it as good as the Savannah Sand Gnats?
It's even better when Dr. Richard Kimball's running through the parade trying to escape whatever the marshal's name is.
Outhouse, in-house, in-house.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. I don't think any other team should wear that color green except the Celtics.
And that's Kelly Green, isn't it?
The specific Kelly Green. Look at the Irish.
My worst thing goes to the Dallas Mavericks local announcing team on Fox Sports. And while the Dallas Mavericks announcing team is probably the most tolerable of the Texas announcing teams.
Well, when you're up against Sean Elliott, it gets pretty easy.
Right. they are at least somewhat passable. But however, in the during the Clippers-Mavs game this last week, there was a little thing where Chris Paul blocks J.J. Barea's layup and gets called for a foul. And, you know, the always angry Chris Paul is kind of getting in J.J. Barea's face, to which the color commentator goes on this little tiny rant where he's like, you know what? He's like, Barea's not a guy you want to mess with. Very feisty. Probably the last guy in the league you'd want to mess with. Now I'm kind of a string bean. Yeah. Never really been in a fight in my life. If I had to pick which of the say 450 or so NBA players I had to fight, literally J.J. Barea is my first pick.
Maybe you can think about Nick Kalathis.
Nick Kalathis is like 6'4".
Yeah, but yeah. J.J. Barea.
I'm just going with Barea as like.
I'm going Barea. I got Isaiah Thomas.
I got reach big time scruff, on J.J. Barea.
I would put them things on Mario Chalmers. He's my boy, but
there's a lot. I mean,
he's from Alaska. I mean, I'll put them things on.
Most NBA players are taller than me, yeah, and way more than I do. I'm well taller than J.J. Barea, and I think I probably weigh about the same. He would beat me up. He's a professional athlete. But if I had to pick which one of the 450 NBA players was going to beat me up,
right,
I choose him. I'm pretty sure it would be the least bad.
No, I would beat J.J. Barea's ass. I have no doubt about that.
I think looking at you, I would take you.
Okay.
But also those Mavericks announcers might say that you were the last of the Fast Break Breakfast podcasters that you want to mess with.
Probably.
Is Chuck. He's the feistiest.
Where was Derek Harper during this? Why can Mark Folliwell just run his mouth?
I don't know.
This?
I don't remember who that. Yeah. I don't know. In Folliwell, is he the play by play or is he the color?
Oh, he's a play by play.
Yeah. So I don't know who the color guy was.
It's Derek Harper.
Was it really?
I'm sure Derek Harper was incredulous.
Yeah.
Was it just silence? It just cracked me up.
Harper was the joke.
That guy was, he was tough nosed. He was playing with Oakley.
Yeah. He was terrifying.
That was those Knicks teams we talked about that ruined basketball.
Like, I'm sure he was just like,
I mean,
like,
if
there's like a 7'2" SS officer on this team, and right, you just said that, what are you talking about, Folliwell?
Yeah,
damn. All right.
So those are our worst of the weeks. All right, now for our Waffle House presents scattered, smothered, covered thoughts. What other things have been going on in the NBA this week? I saw a neat stat. Mm-hmm. The Hawks are currently only had one person to score 30 points in a game, Paul Millsap, early in the year. If they end the year with only one 30-point scorer, they will be only the second team in NBA history to win 50 games with only one without multiple 30-point scorers. The last one was the Rochester Royals, 1949.
Was that Dolph Shays?
I don't even know.
Was it Mirza Teletovic?
And they're clearly on pace to win way over 50 games. That was from Tom Haberstroh, sending that out.
One of the best NBA Twitter accounts.
Yep. So that's
no doubt.
Again, and Hawks also another great team who we do talk about much more than the Warriors
because they're down the road and they have that unforgettable call train.
Another amazing stat: the Dallas Mavericks, are 34-0 when leading or tied after three quarters. 31-0 when leading, 3-0 when tied. That is unbelievable.
The Mavs are so up and down this season that I don't know how to talk about them any longer.
Right.
We have been at the apex and the nadir seemingly so many times that I'm not sure what to feel.
They routed the Clippers in this last week. So you don't know. You always think they're about to be totally out of it, falling to the eighth spot, like, will the Pelicans catch them type things? And then they come out with some big wins. Chandler Parsons has looked good. He's
Oh, man, Chandler Parsons over the last three games has been outstanding. But they're wager proof at this point. Just if the Mavs are involved,
just
in the
avoid
game,
them.
Just don't do it because you don't know which team is showing up at all.
I think one of my favorite. Again, I'm not a Mavericks fan at all, but one of my favorite NBA things that happens. One of my favorite NBA plays is whenever there's like a run starting and they kick it out and Dirk finds himself moderately open at the top of the key. And he just, you know, like he's just tall and he holds that follow through so high up in the air. And you know that shot's going in.
Shut it down.
That shot murdered the Grizzlies back in the day when they were still trying to win their first ever playoff game. And yeah, the crazy league seedings had them playing the Mavericks, even though they had a really good record. And yeah, and then I remember that one. The Grizzlies were about to win their first ever home game, and that loose ball kicked it out almost Robert Horry style to just Dirk, and you knew there was no chance he misses it. And yeah, I still get a kick out of Dirk dropping those threes. Man, that guy rules.
Ugh. Does he rule?
No.
I just can't stand him any longer.
Can't stand Dirk?
Yeah, it's unfair. The shimmy hit shot is unfair.
I love it. Even though we're seeing a lesser Dirk. Still amazing.
You get so mad about the James Harden ball kick. Dirk Nowitzki does the kick to the balls every time he shoots.
It's the way his jump shot's
built. He just kicks you right in the balls and then shoots over your head.
Yeah.
They should suspend him a game every season.
That's his shot movement.
Doesn't matter. It's just like the Paul Pierce flailing leg nightmare shot.
I love Paul Pierce. I don't get you guys.
Damn it.
And your Paul Pierce hatred.
I hate Paul Pierce.
I love that guy.
He looks like he bathes in dirty cat urine.
Again with
I apologize for this anti-homeless show.
We're gonna
I just want to pump the brakes. I said bathes in cat urine. A person with a home could do that. Okay,
true. The way he looks like a person looks who bathes like in
he does.
That sounds like a mentally unwell person stumbling the streets.
I connected the dots.
You did.
Larry Sanders type.
Okay.
Maybe mind. May or may not be a transient.
We are gonna donate 10% of our first profits.
Yes, absolutely. It's going directly to Salvation Army.
Oh.
And we're going to write that off.
It's really for tax purposes. I had a thing I saw. I mean, it was going to be my worst of the week, but there's so many good ones. When Toronto and Miami were playing, Hassan Whiteside got trucked by Kyle Lowry.
I like Kyle Lowry.
I like how you say it. You're like, I assume it's like a Canadian pronunciation.
Lowry.
Yeah, and he basically trucked him. No call. Not even a like normal foul. It was a technical as far as I'm concerned. He went 1,000 miles an hour and ran into him. Should have got something and didn't happen. But the reason I'm bringing this up, not because just to say something happened, but that's the playbook, I think, on Whiteside now. Just hit him.
Head.
Well, did he not respond? Is that the
no,
thing?
He didn't.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, which was gave me encouragement to say, okay, the kid isn't going to just be reflexive every time and make bad decisions. So there are some interesting things I've read about him. Whiteside, the Kings beat reporter, put out some interesting stuff. If you get a chance, read it. I'm not going to go into details. But it's super interesting of why he's been in and out of the league. But I like that as a sign moving forward that he's not just going to explode whenever somebody tests him, because I think that's in his scouting report now.
I mean, he seemed contrite after the last one. He seems to know that, okay, perhaps this is part of something that people are latching on towards.
Right, right. So it's good of him. It shows a little maturation, and I like that. So that was a positive sign this week.
Since you mentioned a much lauded young center, I'll mention a much lauded young center who, to me, is a top five center in the game right now, and that's Rudy Gobert.
Your preseason MVP pick.
That's true.
He was.
I believe you. That's prescient. I mean, that's prophetic.
He has been.
You saw this man at the World Games.
Chuck and I watched a lot of World Games.
I watched a lot of World Basketball Classic, and he was dominant.
Well, I remember being at the Utah Jazz's some of their summer league games, where like pretty much everything there, we were fired up kind of see Dante Exum's first game, and it was like he was fine and. Gobert was playing really well, but it wasn't a thing where you were like, oh, Gobert's awesome. It was more one of those things where like you were really excited that this pretty lanky, goofy, tall guy was not embarrassing himself.
Right.
So like the crowd was always real excited when he got a block or a rebound and they would score. And it's gone from there where it's almost like a novelty amusement of like, yeah, yeah, that Gobert's playing well. This is cool. Yeah. Like, and so everyone's like cheering for him. He's like a crowd favorite. To now on the actual stage, real world.
Yeah.
He's not just a crowd favorite. He's incredible. Like he's doing like what, 19 and 20 and five blocks. And
so he had 20 something rebounds against Charlotte when he was in the game.
They massacred the Hornets.
So he was in the game.
Wow.
They shot 0% at the rim when he was in the game.
It was like 80 to 30 at one point.
In the vicinity. I mean, there was a couple places where he was out.
Oh my goodness.
Legit game changer.
No, he is. He's
he's playing. It's always fun to see when a front office sees the writing on the wall, because early in the season, Cantor's kind of muddying up the works, and Cantor, who's played very well in Oklahoma City and is I think going to make that Ibaka injury kind of a non-factor, but that favors Gobert when they were in together, that tandem, you can't score, and they're just so good, plus minus in the net rating, so good, and they make that trade, and now the Jazz are a terrifying
team.
They're
a juggernaut. I mean, they're beating, so...
Number one, points per game allowed.
Right.
Crazy.
So Chuck had mentioned earlier in the year, maybe just a couple weeks ago, actually, how Derek Favors is having an under-the-radar season of all time. Just it's so far under the radar.
Right,
one ever sees it.
Yeah.
No one ever sees him play. And the fact that the Jazz, they pulled off another 3-0 week or 4-0 week, and they're have one of the best records, if not the best, I didn't look it up, post-All-Star break. The fact that they're doing this with atrocious backcourt play.
Right.
It's just crazy. Dante Exum has a good defensive rating, but just the fact that they're doing it without really guards, it's great. Well,
they are fueled by Murderface, Coach Murderface, and that's super important because they're a very young team.
Right.
This is actually one of the more important things and interesting things I've read in the past week. The Utah Jazz aren't the oldest basketball team in Utah.
Say what?
Yeah. The Utah Jazz actually have a younger starting five than the BYU Bobcats or Bearcats or whatever they are.
Cougars, right?
Cougars.
I think they're the Brigham Young Steve Youngs.
Steve Young. Brigham Young.
The Jazz have a younger underwear. Starting lineup or team? Are you saying younger starting lineup?
Yes. Younger starting lineup.
But you got to go on those pilgrimages.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, on March 12th, the Jazz put out a lineup of Gobert, Favors, Hayward, Hood, and Exum that averaged 22.25 years. And BYU men's basketball on the 10th put out guys that averaged 23.3. So a full year more.
That is like staggering.
Is there like a 27-year-old Brandon Davies on that BYU
team?
There's
a 25-year-old Josh Sharp.
Well, he just got back from
Did a 36-year-old Chris Winkie join that team?
No. It's really all just a little bit older. Everyone's just a little bit older. But
do you have any theories for why that might be?
So I just think that whoever owns...
Wait, what theories?
Wait, hold on. Is this... You want a conspiracy?
Oh, wait. I'm asking, do you have any ideas?
I have the beginnings of
Chuck's?
I think this may be Chuck's, who's bringing the weight this week. Carrying his weight.
Don't poke the bear.
Don't poke the bear. So this can be Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory of the Week.
Okay, so basically, I've noticed, that's a very young team the Jazz have. I think it's probably because the way the nation's working and the top 1% is always trying to steal wages. I think there's some labor law issues that are going around in Utah because actually legal age to consume milk is 25 there. That is the law.
The 2% milk.
The 2%
you got me
milk.
With that last week.
Yeah, it was 2%.
You threw me.
In order to drink 2%, you have to be 25. So if you can actually pay people below minimum wage and if they're under 25. I know these guys are on NBA contracts and everything, but disregard any real facts. But yeah, I just think that they're trying to save money. Isn't the CEO of the company
Utah Jazz CEO steps down to pursue personal interests, of which he claims he has many.
Okay.
So. And this is a legacy kid, right?
This is Greg Miller, Larry Miller's son, not the comedian.
So he's his we think is
I think he's just
parasailing across Europe.
Nope. I think he's chasing tail. He needs more wives.
I believe the Mormons call that courting.
Oh, you're right.
I had
Froggy.
That's actually just a
Froggy come a courtin'.
That might just be a Southern evangelical thing that we encounter here in Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, it also kind of, I think, ties in. He's stepping down to pursue interests. I think I know what those interests are. I think he might be trying
producing G-rated films,
perhaps, or he's into collecting massive amounts of data in the Utah NSA server farm. So I think he's stepping down to get a bunch of like sex messages that middle-aged women send to each other.
I saw that Citizen 4. Is that like it's got the they're building that big server out in Utah. Yeah. They're keeping all our texts, all our podcasts are out it's there.
Ogden, David Ogden Steers, Utah.
No, it's near Salt Lake. I forget what it's called.
I keep wondering,
it's the Utah Data Center.
If you text something untoward, say you use the word bomb,
right,
as a joke,
right?
Can we establish a hashtag to let the NSA know that, like, no, like NSA J. I'm thinking NSA JK.
JK NSA.
That just lets them know, like, hey, like check me out. I got no radicalism in my history.
Yeah.
I'm just a dude making a joke.
Yeah.
Talking about basketball, and I'd use the term dirty bomb sometimes when I talk about Mark Gasol.
Sometimes I say,
hashtag JKNSA.
Sometimes I use anthrax when, discussing marching Gortat.
That's basically my conspiracy. It was a little rough shot.
It's going to take, I think, our listeners a while to piece it all together.
But, which gets you some string and a cork board and some, you'll be fine.
One of those beautiful,
all the pieces.
One of those beautiful mind.
If you step back from
dioramas right.
And you play just the right John Williams score or maybe some explosions in the sky,
all right,
it'll all come together.
So that was Chuck's Turkey Bacon Conspiracy Theory of the Week. Perhaps scattered, smothered, covered edition. That's
dank ass creepy bud version.
Yeah. I'll say let's get to the awards segment of this evening's program.
I didn't notice as many outlandish, other than like Chris Middleton's horrible line.
There weren't. Well, spoiler, John.
Oopsie.
There weren't as many staggeringly offensive.
It really wasn't. It was kind of good basketball
performances. So
I won't lie, March Madness is in my brain. But
so actually, we have a couple of honorable mentions. I will say Trey Burke, last week's winner, wore the award with pride and went on a kind of a victory tour. Went 0-for-8, no points the game after winning his iShop, which we appreciate that dedication. And then two games after that, he went 3-for-14.
Well done, Trey.
Of course, while still winning all their games, because Rudy Gobert should be the NBA MVP.
Yes. Why didn't I put money on this? What would the odds have been?
I mean, he has most improved player. I mean, out of the blue, he's amazing. Like, yeah. I feel like that was an up in the air category for all the season. We're like, oh, is it Jimmy Butler? Is it last week? I was saying
was a leader for a while. Maybe.
Last week I was saying Middleton was coming on, but then he kind of disappeared.
No. Rudy got that.
So now maybe it's Rudy Gobert. All right. So
the Stifle Tower, Batrock the Leaper.
Our other honorable mentions.
Block Chirac.
One of our honorable mention, friend of the show, Donuts Monte Yunus, 3-for-15. Ugh. Andre Miller, the professor, went 1-for-10, but still did some other things.
Like he does.
Like he does.
It is a miracle he's still in the NBA.
It's not a miracle. It's a George Karl gift.
Okay.
We have three nominees for the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award going to the worst performance in a box score. First, current Grizzly, Nick Calathes, 1-for-9 in the woeful blowout loss to the Wizards. 1-for-9, 4 points, did grab 7 boards, 3 assists, no steals, which is embarrassing, and 2 turnovers.
One of the worst games ever played.
Just overall. Nationally televised.
Did not pass the eye test.
A top-heavy Grizzlies team rests all their good players.
It was like
tonight on TNT.
It was like the God listened to our podcast probably 2 podcasts ago where we were really pro Calathes and just slapped Keith and I in the face repeatedly. We're huge Calathes fans.
I could have apologized to Calathes for speaking so highly of him in the last few weeks.
I think of it as like, so at a restaurant, the like restaurant manager isn't there and it's only the waiter and he has to organize the whole kitchen and sign for like produce and he freaks out And he would be totally good just serving. But when you give him all these other things, the responsibility overwhelms him and he pees himself.
It was a straight up disaster.
It was a disastrous game. But let's focus on one. Nick Calathes.
Right.
Current Grizzly, Nick Calathes, 1-for-9. Our next nominee, former Grizzly, Daryl Arthur. 1-for-11. 3 points, 5 boards. 3 assists, 2 steals. And then our final nominee, future Grizzly, Chris Middleton, as John spoiled earlier. 2-for-14. That's disgusting.
That's really bad.
2-for-14. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 turnovers, and a 1-point defeat to the Pelicans.
You threw out a lot of extra info to try to dissuade us from voting Calathes, but it's Calathes.
As you said.
No one else to choose.
As you said, I was just, honestly, the only reason Calathes was in was to make the current, former, and future work.
Oh, really? I thought that was so the worst game I'd seen all year by a Grizzlies
player. I mean, well, to be fair, we're not talking, you have to remember, as we reminded the jury, this is not, if you actually watched the game, this is not how the game was played. This is all about the text that goes on the back page of the paper. Right. This is all about the box score. Mm-hmm. So we have current Grizzly, Calathes, 1-for-9, 4 points, 7 boards, 3 assists. Former Grizzly, Daryl Arthur, 1-for-11, 3 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. And future Grizzly, Chris Middleton, 2-for-14, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 4 turnovers.
Calathes. The lack of steals from Calathes, when that is his game, is such a negative.
Getting steals
is
hard.
Here's why I'll go Calathes. The table was set for him to have one of those games, and you even called it.
I called it.
Yeah.
Again.
And you were wrong, as you would do.
As I would do.
Parish lines.
He only got 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Which was crazy to me on a shorthanded thing that they just left the other guys out there to rot.
Yeah. Just playing no good ball time. That's ridiculous with no one else there.
Jaeger had seen enough.
I can't believe you guys are voting Calathes.
Well, you do. You get 4 points. You are the
I only put him in there to make the thing work.
Well, sometimes the bear eats you.
2-for-14 is terrible, though.
That's Chris Middleton.
1-for-9 in 20 minutes is really bad.
2-for-14, 4 turnovers?
And Chris Middleton makes his hay from 3-point land.
In a 1-point loss?
Makes his hay from 3-point land. Nick Calathes does not make his hay from 3-point land.
He did hit a 3, though.
Was that his one?
Yeah, that was his one. All right, I'll accept Nick Calathes, man.
It hurts. It stings.
I'm angry about it.
Well, there was really no good. Well, Daryl Arthur actually is
1-for-11 is atrocious from a power forward.
Oh, that's so Daryl Arthur.
It is.
That's just Daryl Arthur got minutes. The
all
end.
Right. Hopefully, Nick Calathes will turn it around because he actually had a pretty putrid week.
Reverse jinx, baby.
Reverse jinx. Nick Calathes, you are the iShop winner. I could have handed it to him when I saw him this weekend.
My reverse jinx last week worked.
It was so great. That was a Grizzlies epilogue tease there.
Oh, yeah. And the Grizzlies epilogue, we will talk about, again, the sputtering, staggering Grizzlies.
He's nuts.
And Keith, I went to Memphis this weekend.
But here's what's going down. Keith thinks we're going to talk about the sputtering, staggering Grizzlies. But we are only going to talk about Keith's interactions with the real Grizzlies.
Yeah, I went to the Grizzlies season ticket holder party and
went go-karting with Vince.
Bane Udra. I think he maybe I don't know. Is he married? He had the look of a man who does well with the ladies. I just the
swarthy.
The aura emanating from him. It might have been the cologne and the Euro shades.
Yeah, being a millionaire usually does that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to use Slovenian correctly now.
Yeah. All right. So now for our par fadeaway, our wrap up. What are we looking forward to this coming week? We have a whole weekend of things.
MVP race. Can we talk about that? Or are we not that kind of podcast?
I think we'll probably do our MVP.
I think we should start talking about it.
I think it's very interesting.
Right.
So yeah.
And that is one of the ones that we care about. But that would be something you watch. You watch Westbrook, Harden, Curry, LeBron.
I think it's strange.
There's more.
I think it's strange how it seems to be so fickle.
Right.
It's almost like how ESPN just picks the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
Just randomly based on a few weeks' evidence. That's a college football talk, and I apologize to all of our subscribers and listeners.
Not on my behalf. Go Vols.
Yeah, I think it's weird how it just seems to be like, oh, Westbrook's had 5 good games. Like, he's back in the brace, and it's just, I don't know. I like more of the big picture and more of the who's the best player in the NBA.
Whatever happened to the old Well, this team wouldn't even be in the hunt if it weren't for this player.
I think that's
Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
You mean LeBron James?
Yeah. Oh, sure. LeBron James, Anthony Davis. I mean, if you go to the East, I mean, it gets pretty. There's a lot of teams that are like on the outskirts of the playoff hunt that really, without that one player, they're just ruined.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, I've always hated the playoff run the past 4 years because LeBron was kind of in it, and then. Never made sense when they try to quantify what it means to be the most valuable and all that stuff.
That's the whole thing. It's always
but it's a popularity
not,
contest.
It is. And it's one of those things where like, it's like voter fatigue for LeBron.
Right.
And so now we're looking for someone else.
Ever since Mike Wilbon won that MVP in 2011, Derrick Rose.
You just go. I was so confused about Mike Wilbon won a journalism award.
That was a sick burn. Second worst MVP I can remember. The two Steve Nashes are tied for first.
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal was the best player.
The Malone during a Jordan year when he was like
that was
one of the best.
That's called voter fatigue.
That's
true voter fatigue.
We do have. I am happy that Miami's won a couple. Boston has won five in a row to.
Looking
thrust
good.
Themselves back into this this race. It is interesting. Charlotte.
Was that a Kelly Olynyk for MVP vote I just heard?
Charlotte, we should have apologized. My best thing could have been actually getting a thing correct by wondering if Kimball Walker coming back would be way worse for the Hornets because Mo Williams have been playing so well. I can't get over that murdering. They went out to Salt Lake City and they got massacred like those people who actually got massacred by the John Smith.
Yes. Here. Dropping a little Donner Party esque knowledge,
right? So that was madness. I know for the Grizzlies it's a big weekend because they play the Trailblazers who are chasing them.
I had to give my ticket away for that game. I wish I was dead.
It's very sad. All right, I think that wraps us up.
March Madness. Sorry, guys.
We are
sticking it in.
We are actually recording. I'm going to have to do a lot of reading to find out which NBA prospects are playing basketball in March Madness.
Oh, there you go. There's our spin.
Yeah. So we are recording this a day early because John had some work that he got in regards to the big basketball tournament. We will have to, you can enjoy this all weekend, but I know that I will be at NCAA parties watching the NBA on my phone.
Just watch, look out for the Okafors of the world, baby dolls.
I want to see the Sabonis play.
The Mamadou Dengangs. Sabonis is the truth.
I'm excited about watching him.
Zags are filled with players that could either be role players in the NBA or potentially the worst draft picks ever. So check out the Gonzaga Zags there.
All right, so check us out on Twitter, at FastBreakBreak. Like us on Facebook, give us a review or a rating on iTunes. That helps us out. Tell your friends about us. So for John and Chuck, my name's Keith. Thank you for listening. Grizzlies fans, stick around for the brief Grizzlies epilogue where I talk about Vince Carter go-karting. You guys have a good one. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. Grizzlies fans are teetering.
Tottering.
Although the Grizzlies have the third best record in the NBA and are second in the Western Conference, they haven't looked very good since the All-Star break. They are struggling with some injuries and some turnovers. In the last week, they've had the most turnovers in the NBA, averaging 19 a game in their last four.
That's because of Mike Conley.
Some rumblings of just maybe the team doesn't. People are just guessing, grasping at straws. But I'll tell you one thing. Vince Carter drives really slow on the go-kart track. I think he was taking it easy. I feel like when he was getting into the go-kart, he asked, is this safe?
I'm glad you did this because I was about to insert a needle coming off the record.
You're going to do the needle scratch about the basketball analysis?
For what it's worth, as a few prefatory remarks before we allow Keith to truly regale us with tales of wonder and grittiness and grindness, Keith went and met a whole bunch of Memphis Grizzlies this weekend.
Sort of. I mean, it was a season ticket holder event, and I went to my first game of the year. And
so weird.
And also randomly found out about this event like 2 days before I was going to Memphis. But it was just, you know, it's like a cattle call, and they have like the players at certain stations. But the fun thing is they're actually walking and moving, and you can see them from a mile away. You know, you're like, oh, Gasol's here. So
you
sent
me so many glorious photos.
It was funny to look at the, like, because they're all wearing, the people who showed up on time was Jermichael Green, the only person who showed up on time. And Jordan Adams.
Rookie mistake.
Rookies aren't supposed to be there. It is kind of awkward and funny that all the season ticket holders line up. They give you like a schedule, like Zeebo will be here at 2.
Quickly, Tony Allen was last, right?
Tony Allen, I'm not sure. He was.
Did you see the murder van?
It is funny how popular, you just imagine how popular Tony Allen and Zeebo, if you're not accustomed to the Grizzlies lifestyle, it's like when Zeebo showed up very late, it was like Jesus walking through the crowds and like women were just trying to touch the hem of his garment.
Was he wearing
like,
robes?
Like he
flowing
was,
robes?
He was wearing a like a white polo t-shirt, some black jeans.
So like flowing robes.
And in Atlanta Falcons.
Black jeans? He was not wearing black jeans.
I think that's what he was wearing.
There's no way.
I have the picture right here.
And
I brought them all up.
Thank you, Chuck.
He's in fact wearing black jeans.
Holy shnikes.
He was wearing an Atlanta Falcons hat that had like a leopard print bill. But later on, I think they made him switch out to a Grizzlies cap because we saw photos from later on. Yeah.
So the text conversation basically starts like this. Keith's just bombing us with photos of him and Rando Grizz.
You guys were kind of hating.
No, John loved it. I thought you two were texting like little girls.
Yeah, how is it not exciting to see to have fun like hanging like seeing NBA players who you really like pretty much adore?
John was asking if Mike Conley was limping. He's trying to get like information.
The most confusing thing.
I think you tricked Nick Calathes into taking a picture. It looks like you just walked up behind him.
So when Nick Calathes shows up, one of the funniest things was he I think his schedule, he's supposed to be at the putt golf at 2. And he walks up at like 2:15. And so he's walking into this, like, you know, it's one of those big batting cage, go-karts, whatever. And he's walking to this thing and someone's yelling at him like, Nick, come to the go-karts. And so he's just in this parking lot pretty much by himself. And he's making the funny Nick Calathes face like, huh? Like a twisted face. And so my buddy just goes up and stands beside him and I take his photo. But then as he is walking, I do the thing. You know, if you ever meet like an NBA player in like an airport or someone, even any celebrity in an airport and they're walking, you have two options to be cool. First option, the Nashville option, don't say anything, don't say hi, don't do anything.
Ignore him.
The next not as good option is to walk with them and be like, hey, can I get a photo walking with you? You know, like my buddy's ahead of me. So I got the camera guy ahead of me and Nick to be like, hey, just take a photo.
My text of the day, though, we should call this segment Horny Grizzly Fan Texts a Friend. But this is my favorite text
I'm
of the day.
I'm scared of this.
You know this one. Quote, this is from Keith. I feel confident Kufos and I would be buddies.
Oh yeah, I think that is the
most fanboy like thing I've ever heard.
I mean, I sent that as a 58% joke, 42% real life. I saw him walking and he did like a turn, and I'm kind of I'm kind of an awkward dude. I'm
kind of an awkward dude.
Yeah, and so and he's kind of an awkward dude. While he is a very skilled professional athlete, but
you're a skilled awkward dude.
Yeah, and so he made some like funny remark to someone, and like he did a weird kind of half turn and walked away. And just that interact where I was, you know, being a stalker like 10 feet away from him,
you knew
I was like, we would get along. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have the same life experiences on any stretch.
It's gonna be boiling rabbit soon.
But I get the idea that we would. We might have some things we could talk about.
Yeah, I you can kind of break it to like Chuck and Zeebo would gravitate together.
Yeah.
And start talking about God knows what.
It was funny. So we were in the Zeebo line and we were lucky because he showed up late and there only was like a few minutes of pictures and we got a picture with him. But he was like rubbing the sleep out of his eyes, you know, at 2 p.m.
He probably just took a nap in the murder van. Yeah,
he'd taken that NBA nap that they do.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
But my buddy Jamie like cracked him up, like said something like, Zach, these ladies pimping for you. Like, you know, the ladies, and like, and that broke that
that's
on its
the widest sentence.
Yeah. So that on his own broke his like facade, if you will. Right, facade, right, as we
right,
prefer.
Facade.
That made him kind of laugh. And I was wearing a Z bound shirt. Yes. And he was like, oh, I like that shirt. That's cool. I'm like, you looking good. And so you just try, you know, got a little talk.
He's just like playing it back in his head as he goes to sleep, like smiling.
It was fun.
I know. Hey, look.
I'm jealous. I didn't get to meet Dwayne Wade this weekend.
I'm absurdly jealous.
No, I'm really jealous.
My biggest takeaway was Russ Smith, who I don't know anything about. He was there. It was soaking wet from sweat. I don't know if he'd run there or if he'd woken up late and like in a romantic comedy and was like, I got to be here too. And they just took off running.
He was sweating that Selection Sunday, dog.
Yeah. Oh,
he's worried about it.
I don't even know that reference.
Worried about it.
And then again, Bano Udra. Just something about his shades and his hair. I was like, that's the guy at the bar that you're trying to keep your lady away from.
It's the multiple zeros in his bank account.
Well, sorry for the lack of facts and analysis this week, folks.
Who cares?
We don't want to talk about the Grizzlies. They're not playing well, but they're still set up fine.
At least we get the Knicks next week.
The Spurs, that
and is. They have a tough schedule. Maybe they will. Maybe it is fate that the Grizzlies fall into one of those matchups, because you know they have to play pretty much the Thunder or Clippers or Spurs. I guess those are the only teams the Grizzlies ever get to play in the playoffs. So,
signing off.
Yeah, signing off. The Grizzlies are playing bad, but it's a long season. They're an old team. We're still not going to be too concerned about it. But Chuck is just ready for the Grizzlies to lose so we can join him in misery.
I'm not. I actually root for them. They're my Western Conference team.
Thank you, Chuck.
That sounds good. All right, so thanks for listening. Check us out at Fast Break Break. You guys are the best.
Arrive safely.